It's good to welcome Celtic Frost back to the UK, just wrapping up their 1989 11-date tour of our country. And we're here at Hammersmith Odeon, or we were last night, weren't we? Night, too. All the old cameras, the lot, the Monty. Enjoyed it?
Yeah, very, very much.
Good. Yeah. How's the tour been so far? Because it's nearly coming to an end now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a lot of ups and downs because the tour is only a few gigs old. The UK is the very start of the world tour. It's the first country you're playing, and also it marks the first tour of this lineup. So it's been a lot of busy days and everything, but it's come together very well. I think we're very proud and very happy the way it's going now. Especially as you said last night, I think that was like the definite start. If not before, it was great.
Same here, I quite agree. And the fact is, of course, I mean, you boys are so dynamic on stage. It's incredible. Just amazing, you know.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
The band has progressed, hasn't it?
I tend to think so. It certainly is also a matter of having more mature musicians in the band than we had before, and of having learned a lot during 1987, the year that we have so many legal troubles and troubles with ourselves in the old lineup. We certainly progressed from that, and especially Oliver sitting here. Oliver was in the band at the very end of this time, so he's having a noseful of this too, and we all saw what's wrong and what's not good, so I think we progressed from that on mostly.
Definitely, yeah. And of course you are the founder member, Tom Warrior.
Yeah.
Or Thomas Gabriel Warrior, as they call you.
Absolutely.
Right, okay. Come from Switzerland.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in Switzerland?
Around Zurich, just close to Zurich.
Right,
everybody.
Yeah. You must surely be the heaviest band to have come out of Switzerland, surely.
I would have thought. What about Coroner?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Is our Coroner a new up-and-coming band or what? Put me in the picture.
You know, I know Coroner very well, so I don't want to make advertising for them. They don't deserve it, no. I think we are certainly the most original band to come out of Switzerland, hopefully. But I think as far as the heaviest or thrashiest band, I think it's definitely Coroner. And I think if they finally get to tour and if they get their act together, I think they're definitely having their possibilities. I think I've been talking to a lot of fans, and I think they certainly have a great audience once they get a tour together. I think it's a shame that they didn't get to tour till now.
Mm. Yeah, very, very true. Of course, it goes back a fair while for you, doesn't it? 1984, working along with Martin Eric Ain and in a band called Hellhammer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, actually, if you talk about Hellhammer, it goes back to, like, 1982. That's
really?
When Martin and me founded Hellhammer. And Hellhammer existed until the early days of 84, when Martin and me left because we were really frustrated with what the band was doing, that the band wasn't progressing, that we had all limits in the concept of the band. And that's why we left and founded a band that had no borders, which was Celtic Frost.
Yeah, certainly. And of course, you are very, very much, of course, the front man there.
I am the front man very much, but I always am the first to stress that this is a band situation rather than my solo project. It actually was more my solo project in the old lineup because Reed sadly didn't contribute anything musically, and Martin contributed a lot of ideas but never directly wrote a song until the album Into the Pandemonium, which was a shame because Martin is full of ideas, but he has a hard time putting it down in vinyl. So
sure, yeah.
I was ending up with doing most of the work, so I'm very happy now that I can share talent with the other guys and that I can get some additional input.
That's good. That's brilliant. One important thing, of course, to remember that you got your deal with Noise Records. I released your first album, Morbid Tales, and you wrote most of the lyrics for that, of course, didn't you?
Yeah, I wrote most of the lyrics, but Martin wrote a big piece of lyrical work for that album. As I said before, I mean, without Martin, I don't think Celtic Frost would exist in this form.
Well, that's
and
good.
Martin is working with the band to this very day, and he's going to be working on the next album as well, especially in the lyric department. That might be interesting to know for the fans. Martin and me are still sticking together very much as far as lyrics and stuff. I look up to the guy very, very much.
Why isn't he on stage with you now then?
Martin quit the band for personal reasons. He wanted to quit since like almost 2 years. we had to talk him into recording Inter Pandemonium with us. We had to talk him into doing the last tour of the UK and the States. He wanted to quit for personal reasons, for being more devoted to his girl, and for launching into some serious comic and record business. He's like stockholder of a Swiss record store and stuff, and he takes it very serious. And he will pursue a musical career, but he won't be touring anymore, I think.
No.
He was very, very tired of touring the world and not being home and you know, not seeing his girl and everything.
Doesn't seem to bother you though, touring.
No,
does
I well, it would bother me, but I got married and I'm very happy to have my wife and me on tour.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. What about you, Ollie? Are you married?
I'm married, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, since almost 2 years, but my wife stays at home, I think. Somebody has to work. No, just think it works out better, you know, if you're not together like 24 hours a day. And she just comes by time to time. Yeah. You know, she just come over for a couple of days, then she leaves and comes back. I think that's
nice. Yeah,
good solution.
Yeah. That's okay. What about Kurt?
Kurt?
Almost. I just can say almost married.
Yeah, we in the band, we tend to say that he's almost married, but the fact of the matter is that Kurt is, that goes to all you girls out there, Kurt is always ready and willing.
Stephen Priestley actually appeared on the first album, didn't he? Yeah, on the Morbid Tales album.
Yeah.
Did he also appear on the second album, To Megatherion, or what?
No, we made him the offer. We had, when we founded Celtic Frost, we had to find a drummer fairly quickly. And Martin, before he joined Hellhammer, played together with Stephen in the band Schizo. Now, we played on Morbid Tales with Stephen Priestley as a session drummer, and after, we were very happy with Stephen's performance on the album. We asked him to join the band, but Steve had been building up his own project at the same time. So Steve went off to make his own project after Morbid Tales, and we continued, of course, with Reed St. Mark from New York, what became our first permanent lineup.
Right.
But now we're very happy to have Steve's talents back in the band. We all think he's a fantastic drummer. And as far as Swiss drummers, we couldn't think of anybody else that would be able to do the job we require.
No. You had a very big breakthrough in the United States of America with the Tragic Serenades tour.
Yeah.
Highly successful.
It was fun.
Celtic Frost goes over and slays America. well, some could say, I wish they hadn't, but many have said you made a lot of fans over there, didn't you?
It was a big piece of work, too.
You
mentioned the Tragic Serenades tour, which, of course, was our first American tour, and it was on a club level.
Right.
We played halls up to, like, the Ritz size, which is 2,500, but besides that, we played rather more club-style halls, and it was a very hard piece of work. It was a low-budget tour back then and stuff. And I think laid as a base, I think if you can talk about a breakthrough, it certainly came when we returned after the UK tour 87, when we returned on the One in Their Pride tour, the second time to the States, and we played co-headliners with Exodus, and then we jumped on the tour as special guests of Anthrax.
Right.
That really...
Yeah, now you made pals with them, didn't you? Yeah.
With Anthrax?
Anthrax.
Yeah, I think we're fortunate enough to be friends with Anthrax since a very, very long time, long before that. We toured together before and we've been friends before. I think both bands appreciate each other's music a lot.
Right.
We've been joking around playing Anthrax songs at soundchecks, and they play Frost songs and everything. and yeah, we get along really well, actually, I'm very happy to say.
That's good. We were filming last night and it went highly successfully. But you've actually had a video out before, haven't you? Circle of Tyrants.
Yeah, we had two video clips. You had Circle of the Tyrants, of course.
Right.
And we had a concept video clip, which was Cherry Orchards.
Sure.
Which was done in London, England.
Right. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was done by Xavier Russell, son of Ken Russell. It was a pleasure to work with him.
Sure. He's a great guy. Loves heavy music.
He can be. He's a morbid guy.
More Morbid Tales.
Yeah,
absolutely. But Xavier, I mean, you mentioned, of course, Exodus. I mean, he's a big Exodus fan. He was was the guy to have brought Exodus to this country. I mean,
he was the guy who kind of cracked Celtic Frost over here.
Right.
I mean, Kerrang! I hate to say, but Kerrang! Once really were the force that made us big. I mean, they slacked off Morbid Tales, but from then on we had the big support. But the man behind the support was always Xavier Russell. I mean, without Xavier, I don't think we'd be anywhere near what we are now here in the UK. I mean, he's been so believing and stuff. It's just too much.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible, though, because Into the Pandemonium, which was released in 1987, I mean, everybody gave that rave reviews, and quite rightly so. Fabulous album. I like the eccentricity of it. I don't know what your feelings are. What are your feelings, Ollie? I mean, it is over the top, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, it just doesn't have any borders, this album.
No. And a cover version too of Mexican Radio.
Oh, we enjoyed that one very much.
Yeah, Wall
we
of
still
Voodoo.
Do actually.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that. That sounded good on stage too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tell me something a little bit about "I Won't Dance," which a lot of people would say is surreal. It's the lyrics are quite sordid on that. Actually, taken from the Book of the Dead, the Egyptian
yes.
Book of the Dead. Right.
Well, it surprised me that you know that. I'm very proud of that. Actually, I just listened to it this morning for the first time in like a year. And to me, that's probably one of the best lyrics that I wrote on my own. It's a typical Frost piece in that it's heavy, yet it's melodic at the same time. It marks typical later style Frost. And it also marks typical Frost in that there's a big piece of humor in there in that we are playing around with titles.
Sure.
The message in the song comes out in the lyrics, not in the title, in Celtic Frost, very often. If hardcore fans hear the title, "I Won't Dance," they probably will, sorry to say, puke. but it's certainly one of the most serious songs we've ever written.
Yeah.
As you said, it's about the death and everything, and the lyrics for me are very personal.
Yeah, and of course you played on stage last night a track off the new album, Downtown Hanoi.
Yeah.
It's fairly self-explanatory. Just explain, because you gave a nice little piece beforehand, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, if I would put all the thoughts here in the microphone that I put in that song, it would take hours and hours and hours. The song is just dedicated to people who died in the war for nothing. It's pretty senseless that we human beings slaughter down each other continuously ever since we exist. And of course, this is like a pretty serious theme, and it goes deep and deep and deep. But we just tried to put like a microscopic 3-minute message on our album, you know, as far as the limits allow you to do that.
You see, as a person that comes from Switzerland, which of course during the war was a neutral country, as well you will know.
Supposedly, yeah.
It was, though. I mean, supposedly, wasn't
yeah.
it? Right.
Yeah, well, yeah. There was a lot of collaboration with the Nazi leadership in Germany, which is very embarrassing for Switzerland. You know, there was a lot of undercover, miserable things happening.
Yeah.
But that's probably why Switzerland got spared. But I know what you probably want to say. It's that a person from Switzerland goes into such a theme without being involved in a recent war. But there's so many things. You know, Switzerland is like one of the bigger weapon suppliers of many countries, even though it's illegal. And you know, I'm very much into that subject. I'm reading books about that. I'm watching documentaries about that. It's something that to me should bother every single person on this planet. I mean, it's something that just
it bothers me. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. You know, you can't get around the fact that there's wars right now as we talk.
I know.
There's people dying continuously. You know.
Yeah. Very, very true. Very true. There was actually, I thought. For a moment that Reed actually wrote a song for Into the Pandemonium, because it was an ideal. The Invincible Factor,
Inevitable Factor.
Right.
Yes, that song is on tape in two versions. We recorded it, mm-hmm. and we had a very hard time with the song, to be honest. Reed wrote it on the piano, I converted it to guitar and I wrote the arrangement. We recorded two versions during the recording sessions of that album. We have it on tape. I don't know if it's ever going to be released. Reed himself wasn't so confident about it anymore. We tried to put it on a 12-inch B-side or something, but Reed wasn't so confident, so we put it in storage, and of course now Reed isn't with us anymore. And we moved on. It might be surfacing. Celtic Frost have a lot of plans, and if you ever do a compilation of unusual Celtic Frost recordings, it might certainly be on there.
That'd
there's two versions. There's a version that is very new wavy, and there's a version that is very thrashy. So there's a lot of possibilities with this song. It's certainly a very, very unusual song.
Great. Now then, on Enter the Pantomime, you used a lot of different instruments. You used flutes and horns and timpani, cellos, violins, the kitchen sink, a lavatory brush, Ollie's head, everything. Yeah. Even the choir. Yeah. But on the new album, it's been very, very much a band effort.
Yeah.
Love the new album. Cold Lake, it's called. And it's a beautiful, colourful cover. We see the different type of stage dress. Out goes the, should we say, the black, not the black metal. That's a horrible word, isn't it? What do we call it?
I don't think we ever black metal. I think, also think you shouldn't say that so general. I think it goes out on this one picture. Celtic Frost has been a band of a million different songs and a million of different images, as you can certainly see when you look at the sleeves.
Yeah.
And this album certainly is a new step, a new stage in our career. And as you will see in the forthcoming Jerry Orchard's 12-inch, there's another image of Celtic Frost, which is as well Celtic Frost as this picture is, or the older albums.
Right.
It just marks another influence or another additional direction in Celtic Frost's career.
Yeah. Album produced by Tony Platt.
Yeah.
The guy responsible for Another Perfect Day, who just by coincidence is my Motorhead, who are appearing at a venue in Manchester tonight.
Yeah.
Stephen Priestley was saying that, quite frankly, Another Perfect Day was his favourite Motorhead album.
I think we all
agree, 100%.
We all think like that. Yeah, definitely.
What made you choose Tony Platt? Because were the rest of your albums self-produced or what?
No, we had the variety of people working with us, but we always tended to have a watching eye over there because we had so many complex ideas that we always were afraid that some people wouldn't understand us, which of course very often happened. So we always tended to co-produce at least. And so it is with this album. We actually co-produced this album with Tony Platt. And how we got to Tony Platt, we when we formed this lineup, we wrote the songs all together. We wanted to sell to somebody really professional, somebody so-called having a big name in the business, because we wanted to have somebody who really knows in and out what he's doing and knows the mixing desk and everything. We're only the band. We can't produce the art on the album, but we have to have somebody to produce the sound as well. And we didn't want to have just somebody second rate. We wanted to have somebody who does what we want to have.
Well, he's really done the business.
He's done it really to 90% maybe. There's details that we're unhappy with, but we all, I think, feel that this is our best album so far. We think that's the best production we could achieve.
Yeah.
And of course, it comes over live. I mean, very often what a producer does, a studio producer, is gives you encouragement for presenting something live, and it came out so well live. It does on stage. Celtic Frost are very much a live band. You love working with your audiences, don't you? Let's talk about his guitar playing. You are totally unique. Ollie is I'll tell you one thing. I mean, Stephen is an incredible drummer.
Yeah, he is.
So visual, but also he can do the business too. But I mean, Ollie, where did you get that style from? It can't be anyone else like you. You're a freak.
He's just too lazy to practice. No.
Well, actually.
Oh yes.
No, I just it's just the way I feel, you know. I'm a little weirdo, and so I play kind of weird stuff sometimes. You know, it's just comes out how it comes, you know, and almost never play two times the same stuff. And Joe, I got a structure of the solos, and I just make some variations in it, you know, just how it feels and how I feel.
It's good. You work very well, of course, with Tom. Tom, you play, what are the two guitars you use? Two guitars, what are those two?
What do you mean, the guitars that I use, the kind of guitars? Oh, it's just basic Stratocaster guitars of various companies. It's Charvel and St. Blues and whatever. It's just I focus very much on delivering the rhythm on which Oliver builds up his framework and stuff. I'm very happy in being a rhythm guitar player, because I think Oliver does what I will never be able to achieve. And I think too we work well together, and that probably is because we know each other since like some 7 years or something.
That's
like
great.
That. And we've been knowing each other's playing quite often. We've been hearing each other and stuff, and so when we finally got together in the same lineup, it wasn't any problem to get together.
No.
There were hints that Stephen, it was released in the British press, was going to leave the band. Know now that
yesterday. No, he had some kind of heavy personal trouble before Christmas. There was some stuff with his family involved and stuff, and we shouldn't go deep into that here. But all I can say, the band is totally behind Stephen, and we are extremely happy to bring him here, and it's certainly not going to be a lineup change. I think we shocked the fans enough with having such a drastic lineup change, and we don't want to destroy their faith one more time by doing the same thing over and over.
I agree.
This is a Celtic Frost lineup, and it's going to stay a Celtic Frost lineup.
So, after the UK, where do you go from here?
Oh, we go back for a couple of days to Switzerland, to our wives and whatever. And then we just go for the States for, like, I don't know, 50, 60 gigs.
Yeah, something like that. We have, like, 10 days off between here and the States.
Break.
Yeah. After that, it's continental Europe and as I hear, Japan.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
You've been to Japan before?
No, sadly not. I'm starving to play there.
Yeah, be good.
We've been having a lot of Japanese fans. We've been having very good press over there, and we've been very successful as far as sales. So I think it's about time that we can make it over there.
Yeah, it's essential. Because they can buy your LPs, can't they, over there?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. They're released over there officially and everything. And every band I know in the business, from Anthrax to I don't know who, tells me how great Japan is. So we're certainly dying to play there.
Great. Oh, yeah. Well, but the most important thing, it's been lovely talking to you for 2 days.
Thank you very much
for coming up to Manchester, not just sticking with London. So many people stick with London.
Well,
you always do us proud, because you came up last time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we played the Apollo last time, and we felt we had a great kick there. We enjoyed it very much. So what can I say? I'm happy to be back here. And I just want to stress that it was a pleasure to be here with you.
Right.
The pleasure's on our side.
And a little message for Ollie. It doesn't always rain in Manchester. We're going to try and fix it up for you later on tonight. It doesn't always rain.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.